The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this edition of The Week in Comics. Hey, this week we have Amazon news, we have Netflix news, we have Star Trek news, we have tons of news from Comic-Con out in San Diego. Just kidding, there's not a ton of news from that. But we get into a few of the little things that popped up over the weekend. Plenty of listener comments and, what else is there? Oh, the big news, the chair, the new chair. Let's get into the story. Hey, John, where were you Saturday? I was standing around San Diego looking for you. You were nowhere to be found. There were plenty of hotels available.
I was at the Golden Corral.
Oh.
getting my grub on.
Oh, okay. I thought this was our year we were going to go to San Diego Comic-Con.
It was on my bucket list.
I flew all the way out there. I was like, I was all excited. not lots going on there.
No.
Not even their, what do they call it? The Comic-Con at home or whatever?
Yeah.
Whatever. What
Comic-Con at home.
That didn't even have really anything great.
So, I didn't watch a single bit of it, honestly.
I went through it. There was some, I think I talked to you about it last week or something. It wasn't in the podcast, it was after that, but about there was a whole day on teaching comics to kids and a whole bunch of panels and stuff like that. I sat in on a couple of those, that thought it was kind of boring. Not really a lot this year, and it was really I thought it was a missed opportunity. I thought they could have really done a lot with it, give a lot more, but everybody backed out of it. We knew Marvel and DC weren't going to be there.
That's the whole thing. It's like, you know, they can only do what they can do with the people that are willing to participate. And, you know, it just didn't seem like a lot of people were willing to participate. So,
yeah, nobody wanted to use it as an opportunity to do anything. And I think it's tough to make announcements right now, too. Like, usually.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole thing. There's nothing exciting because there's nothing exciting happening.
Right. You know? You're afraid to announce something and then have it get canceled because of whatever.
Well, the thing is, you can't even announce anything new at this point because everything you announced last year hasn't even come out yet. Because, because it got postponed. So, you know, it's like it's hard to announce new things when you're backed up already from what you had announced the previous year.
Right. Yeah, and I know. I mean, Comic-Con's not the same when it's mostly cancellations and postponements.
Right.
It's like, hey, everybody, remember that movie that was coming out in 2 years? Now it's coming out in 3 years.
Exactly. It's a year later and you're further away from it.
Right.
You're further now than you were a year ago.
So. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. What did you think of the Superman's black suit? I don't even know if that came out of Comic-Con. I think that was just Zack Snyder leaked that or something.
No, it came out of like Justice Con or something. I'm not even sure what it was, but Zack Snyder was talking at Justice something I saw. But, you know, we had seen that before. Like, we saw that image a year ago or 2 years ago. So, I mean, I think it's awesome. Like,
yeah,
I can't wait to see it in the movie. But we've already seen that picture, so it didn't quite have the same excitement because we already knew about it.
Well, it's not that I don't think it was meant to be like, here's something you've never seen before. I think it was more meant of like, this is gonna be in the movie.
Right.
This is what it's supposed to be. It's like, there's a bunch of things we've seen before, most of which we've probably forgotten until it comes out, and then you'll go, oh yeah, I've seen that. Much like the black suit, but.
We saw it as part of the unused footage, you know, the unused Zack Snyder footage. Well, now we know we're gonna see all the unused Zack Snyder footage, so.
Right.
It's all found footage again. So. We're gonna see a bunch of things again that we've already seen or had rumors of, but it's just cool to know that it's going to be there.
Yeah.
He also was playing a coy a little bit with the format of it, but seemed to make it known that he would prefer an episodic format as opposed to
nice,
you know, a movie. So,
a full 4-hour you know, okay, if he movie. Gets his,
yeah, if he gets his way, which I can't imagine he won't, because it, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, it's like his baby. So
right.
And we're supposed to find out that definitively at the DC Fan Dome thing or whatever it is they're doing, like their Comic-Con. We're supposed to get a trailer and like some more definitive details from him on what we're going to get. So pretty soon we should know something.
All right. That's cool. That did you what did you think of his comments about Whedon? Did you hear about that? About him?
About not using the footage, or did he say something specifically about Whedon?
About not using, he'd rather burn the whole thing or something, and he used a
few
expletives.
Oh, yeah, which is, you know, that's an indictment on what he thinks of Whedon in his performance, I guess. But, I heard that. I mean, I don't have much thought. I mean, it's not a big surprise, right? Like, right. Why would he want to use any of Whedon's footage? Otherwise, it wouldn't be the Snyder Cut. But, you know, to have that much contempt for it is also a little surprising because, you know, I got the impression early on, and maybe that's just because that's what they wanted, but that it was like a collab, like that he was happy that Whedon was stepping in to take over for him while he was gone. And, you know, so then to have that much contempt for what he did is a little weird. But maybe it wasn't as, you know, the rumors now are that maybe it wasn't as peachy as it was made out to be.
Well, I'm wondering if it was
back then.
If he's that upset with Whedon, though. Like, he did what Joss Whedon did what he wanted to do with the materials that he had, right? So he made the movie that he wanted to make. I don't know. The way I would see Snyder being mad is if it was like, look, here's the explicit instructions on how I wanted it to be made. And he said, screw you. I'm not doing that. I'm going to make my own vision. Then I could see there being a rift. But if Snyder left and he left because of his daughter.
Right. What? But again, now that's what
that's
we were
trying
told.
Times. But, so, but you know, he's probably just happy somebody, especially of Whedon's caliber is stepping in, and he probably didn't give much thought to that the movie at the time.
Right, but the rumor now is that maybe that wasn't the reason after all. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things flying around. Yeah, I've heard rumors now that, you know, maybe it wasn't quite as much his decision as it was made out to be. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That maybe the studio was unhappy or... You know, again, we'll probably never know, so really doesn't do any good to
speculate
about it.
Like, but. I heard his comments, and I was thinking, well, first I heard of them, and I was like, well, I could see myself saying that about something. Like, say I had a vision in my head, and you finished the project, and then I said, whoa, that didn't come out the way I wanted it. I'm going to make the project my way. And somebody said, are you going to use anything that John did? I'd be like, no, I want to do it my way. I'd rather burn the whole thing than do what John did because that's not my vision. But that doesn't mean I dislike you. It doesn't mean I dislike what you did. It's just, that's not my vision. But then I heard him actually say it and I
was
like,
that's what I'm saying.
That wasn't in a nice tone. He was angry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If it was filled with expletives, then, you know, yeah. then it's a little bit different, right?
Right.
So.
That's what I mean, and it's so. I'm actually kind of surprised by that, really am. But hey, a lot of good stuff comes out of anger.
It does, but you know, it is what it is. But you know, there's no door open for future collaborations between Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder. You know what I mean?
Don't think either of them are going to be hurting.
Well, maybe not, but neither was George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. But we got Raiders of the Lost Ark out of it, so
right.
You know, I mean. There's good things that come from, you know, good directors working together. But yep. I guess there's no love lost at least between Zach and Josh. Like, I don't know how Josh feels about it, but at this point, even if he felt good, he probably doesn't anymore because, you know, he'd like put all this behind him probably, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, he took a lot of flack a couple of years ago when this came out and probably had just put it all behind him. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's being dragged through the mud again.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
because all this gets brought back up. So he's probably not feeling too, you know, congenial with any of the situations.
No, he just probably wants it all to go away. And
yeah, but it never will. At
any
this
idea
point,
what
so.
His next project is?
Oh, you got me.
Nah.
I don't think his name's attached to anything. You know, the last thing he even heard about was the Batgirl movie. And then when that fell through, I don't think his name's come up for anything. So who knows?
I have no idea. I didn't even
again, he's not hurting at all. You know, he's got the Buffy residual money coming in for the rest of his life and, you know, Firefly money coming in. So, you know, he's fine. But, I don't know. I don't know if he's doing anything.
Yeah. All right. What do you got? I got a few things, too. What else you got?
Yeah, just a couple things. This, I think, actually did come out of Comic-Con. Amazon Prime looks like Amazon has renewed The Boys for season 3 ahead of season 2's premiere. So that seems to be happening more and more lately where, you know, we're getting renewals before.
They base their renewals on the excitement of a trailer.
Right. And they dropped the trailer at Comic-Con and then.
What'd you think of that? Did you see it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh.
You know, the renewal for season 3. So that's awesome. You know, obviously there's enough comic book content to go for several seasons and seems to be a huge hit for them. So it's not much of a surprise really, but it's just, you know, happy news to know that they've done that. Netflix, this comes out of nowhere really. Like I didn't have any idea this was going to happen, but Netflix has announced they're working on a Witcher prequel series.
I thought we had heard that. Not this specific. I thought we had heard there were going to be other Witcher series. I thought we had talked about that a while ago when we talked about
The
Witcher.
I mean, I knew that they were working on, I thought they were working on some kind of animated series. And maybe I'm confusing that with something else in my mind.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm confusing with.
But this is supposed to take place about 1,200 years before Geralt and, you know, what we're seeing now.
Yeah, I think it was. Am I right? It was supposed to. It's supposed to take place before the humans were around, or something like that, with the Witchers.
Yeah, I'm not
like
sure.
That.
I
heard that
I just
somewhere.
Know that,
it might have been.
Yeah, the timeline was listed as being, well before what we have now, and looks like the original author of the series is going to be involved in this, even though it's really not based on any stories or characters that he's written. I guess he's going to oversee the development of this. So, so that should be good. You know, like I said, we liked The Witcher. Hopefully it's told in a linear fashion, like season 2 is going
to
be.
That.
Yeah,
exactly.
I
heard season 2 was supposed to be like that though.
It is. Yeah.
I think you announced that to me like a month or so ago, or whenever you heard it. It might have been a while.
It was about
ago.
A month after the show premiered.
Right.
You know, the producer was on talking about, you know,
you don't
learning
need a map.
Learning some lessons, on how to tell the story. But I think also it's just like they got all of it out of the way, you know,
right.
Like there's no reason for season 2 to continue on in the same fashion because season 1 ended with us in a, like everybody had come together, all the three storylines had kind of merged, and there was no need to do that anyways. But so hopefully it's a little bit easier to follow.
Yeah,
when we get to see it.
Well, I know that's what the funny part about that first one was. I'm like, I kind of liked it, but I didn't get it. And then you're like, watch it again, but here's the map.
Right,
a map.
Which I still haven't watched it a second time.
Oh, I just
I just saw the timeline, and by the time I had finished watching it, it had all kind of come together anyways. But having that timeline map definitely.
Well, had you played the game or knew anything about it ahead of time?
No, I mean, I've dabbled in the game.
Oh, okay.
But not, I mean, I didn't get anywhere near far enough to know any of the story elements. I knew the names of the three main characters.
Right.
You know, Geralt and Yennefer. I mean, I knew their names, but I didn't know anything else.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
About it.
So I was lost.
Yeah. And then last thing I have, again, this is just a quick announcement, but it looks like CBS has given us the premiere date for season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. Looks like it drops on October 15th with a 13-episode season. So I know you haven't watched it yet, but I'm really looking forward to that because I liked season 2 a lot. So I know that this is going to be a much different season based on how the last one ended up, but I'm still looking forward to this because I think it's a really good show. So...
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I had.
All right. Did you see Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop?
Well,
the rumor?
I saw the rumor of that. Yeah. But again, rumor we've heard a million times.
Yeah, it seems like this one.
I mean, we've talked about it.
Right.
A dozen times on this show.
This one it's just the rumor perked up again. Seems to be getting closer. I don't know when we get an announcement, but that one seems to be getting closer. That and Emilia Clarke as Zatanna. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that at all.
Oh, that was on our Twitter. I talked about it.
Don't pay attention to Twitter.
I think I've
brought that up once or twice.
I know.
No, I haven't seen that. I'm not sure I like that. Like, I like Emilia Clarke a lot, but
I do too. I think she'd be
great. I don't
great.
Know if I like her as Zatanna.
Why?
I don't know. She's definitely, Zatanna's not blonde, for one, which, obviously you can
Emilia,
dye. You
Emilia
can
Clarke,
dye
I don't think, is.
Yeah, she's got brown hair, but Zatanna's
got brown hair in real life.
I don't know. Again, maybe this is sexist, but
just comic book.
Well, like the body, like she's not as voluptuous as Zatanna is. Let's put it that way. But of course, neither is Gal Gadot compared to the comic book Wonder Woman, and
right.
we all know that we liked her, but she's just not the first one that comes to mind when I think of Zatanna.
Right.
What's the lady's name that I think would be great? She was on the HBO show with Woody Harrelson, the True Detective. She was on season 1 of True Detective, and Alexandra Daddario.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think she would be a great Zatanna, and is a little bit more what I think of when I think of that character. So, I don't know. We'll see. I like Emilia Clarke, so
yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be upset, but just not the first person that comes to mind when I think of that character.
Yeah, it's Mark C. at Zig2K on Twitter. We got into a discussion about it, and he said, "This will never happen." And I was like, interesting, what makes you think it'll never happen? And like, I'm not arguing, just wondering. And he's like, because nothing happens with DC, they have no plan. And I said, well, I think with HBO Max, they need content. And
well, there's a plan. Like, there's going to be a Zatanna because they're doing Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
So, I mean, something's going to happen, whether it's... whether it's Emilia Clarke or not.
Well, listen to this list that he came up with. It's pretty cool. I don't know where how he copied and put this.
But is this
so
based
fast.
In anything, or is this just one guy's?
Yeah, yeah. It's just his opinion.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was actually a rumor that was out there that I missed somewhere.
Oh no, about Emilia Clarke.
Yeah,
that was Cinema World tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
It's reportedly the front runner to play Zatanna.
Okay,
so. Just sparked a conversation, so. But he's like, how many of these happen? He said, the Amazonians, Batgirl, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Cyborg, Deadshot, Deathstroke, Gotham City Sirens, Green Lantern Corps, Joker, Jared Leto, Justice League 2, Justice League Dark, Lobo, Man of Steel 2, New Gods, Nightwing, Plastic Man, Supergirl, Trench. And I said, I'd guess most, if not all.
Well, the thing is, how many of that doesn't just because they haven't happened yet doesn't mean they aren't still in development.
Or like that's why I lean towards most, if not all, because you need
right.
They need movie content once movies open back up. We'll get to that in a second. And they also HBO Max is going to need content over the next years. Now, right. These might not be out for years and years, but I would imagine a lot of these eventually see the screen in one way or another.
I think so. Like Justice League Dark, we have almost confirmation on. Like J.J. Abrams is supposed to be working on that.
Yep.
The Trench, as last I heard, was still going forward. You know, the problem is nothing's in development. So it's a little unfair right. to say DC doesn't have a plan or that, you know, kind of calling them out for these things not coming out. I mean, nothing can come out right now. So,
right.
So we'll see. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure some of it will fall away, but,
yeah,
I agree that most of it will probably see the light of day eventually.
At some point. Yeah. Cause they're going to need content eventually when they figure out their DC Universe HBO Max situation, they're going to need yeah, something well, to put on there.
I don't know if they'll ever figure that out, but
yeah.
I think we're going to figure it out for them because I just believe so many people will just dump off of DC Universe that they'll have no choice but to shut it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, maybe. Oh, the movies. Did you hear about, was it on Ralph today? On AMC and Universal coming to their agreement? It's AMC, right?
Ralph did talk about it today, I thought that was
pretty cool. The agreement
I saw that
they
announced
have?
Yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely, you know, a different way of doing things.
Well, I love the idea that they get to share in it. That if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, it's so, I don't have anything written in front of me. I just know that AMC and Universal reached an agreement to get Universal Films back into AMC because they said they weren't going to be
right
showing them because Universal was so excited that, what was it, Trolls or something?
Trolls World Tour did
World
so well that they...
Did so well, they're like, we're going to go straight to streaming at the same time. And Universal's like, well, we're not going to put it in our theaters. And that worked. You know, they stood their ground and then they talked it out, came to an agreement, and they set a 3-week hold minimum.
I thought it was 3 months.
It's 3 months now. It's 3 weeks. So they have 3 weeks until they can release it for premium rental, which is like the $20 rental.
Right.
Okay. So they release it in the theater and then 3 weeks later they can release it for the $20 rental. And it's still the 3 month hold before you release it for regular rental and Blu-ray and streaming and all that stuff. So, but the thing is after, at the 3 week mark, AMC gets a cut of
right.
that
so,
$20 rental.
So now if I'm like Cinemark or Showcase Cinemas
exactly.
or Regal Cinemas, or like, am I now saying, well, we're not going to show it either because we want to put our hand out and
yeah.
get a piece of that pie. And I don't know if they're going to be able to.
Well, that's so. What I think is pretty cool about all this is that it is going to re-engineer the market. And everybody's going to be looking for this. Like, wait a minute, you're giving them a cut. We're going to need a cut. And because, you know, all of these theaters need to do something. And it's funny because this is the thing we were talking about with comic book stores way back at the beginning of all this, like maybe if you guys could get a cut of the digital copies or something, it's kind of right. the same idea. And it's a little bit of a way to take the burden off of, you know, the theaters, give them a cut of the digital release when it comes out in 3 weeks. So I thought that was pretty cool and interesting to see where that goes forward. And I think it's cool for us because, you know, say, obviously, they don't have to release it in 3 weeks. Like, if Endgame came out, I don't think they're going to release it digitally in 3 weeks. But right. they could if they wanted to. And some of these smaller movies that don't do so well, well, you can see them in 3 weeks at your home for $20. So, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what kind of effect it has on box office numbers. Once we get back to it, well, if we ever get back to a normal situation, because like COVID's already going to have effect on box office numbers
right.
for a long time anyways. Like I think it's a long time before we see another $1 billion movie, you know, hit the theaters. But like, you know, let's say we finally get on the other side of it. Like it will be interesting to see how many people decide to just stick it out and wait the 3 weeks and, you know, not go see it at the theaters and what that does to the actual overall box office. It'll be interesting, like I said, interesting to see. And this is just Universal, so far it's not every studio that's doing this. But I would imagine everybody's got their eyes on it now.
Exactly.
Like every other studio is watching this very closely to see if it's a viable means for them.
Well, I thought of, speaking of like the whole COVID situation, like look at who's putting out Tenet?
It's Warner Brothers.
Okay. So what if Warner Brothers comes to some kind of an agreement with this and they start releasing their movies and then 3 weeks, you know, as soon as they can, like, okay, release it in whatever theaters are open. Oh, that it's open. Here we go. And now 3 weeks later, we can release it to the houses at 20 right. bucks a pop. And now we could start making more money because they know, I think this is going to be something important moving forward with this whole COVID thing, because they understand a lot of people aren't going to be going to the theaters.
Right.
So, all right, we got to wait 3 weeks. If you want to risk it and go and see it in the theater, knock yourself out. But 3 weeks later, you can watch it in the safety of your own home. I don't think it's a coincidence that this agreement came like weeks to a month before we're supposed to be opening back up. And if AMC opens up like one theater in the country and it shows a movie, a Universal movie, 3 weeks later, we get it in our home.
Right.
So that would be pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, what did you think of my chair?
Your chair.
You didn't. Oh, I forgot you're not on Twitter. My new chair. I got my new chair.
I can see it. I can see it now.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on Twitter. You can see pictures of it. It's supposed to be here in August, and it came tonight.
Oh, really?
Jen and I went to dinner. I come home, and the UPS guy's in the street with this big box, and dogs are barking, and Jen's like, there's a gaming chair here for Joe, I think. And I'm like, that's mine. I go running out. Like, I had to put the thing together. We'll talk about the instructions when we get to checkout. So, it's really cool. But, you got yours. I was talking to Martin him and I were online a while back. I saw he had a nice chair and I waited through Father's Day. I waited through my birthday. I didn't get a chair.
Didn't get a chair.
And I've dropped a few hints, but didn't get a chair. So as soon as the day after my birthday, I ordered this thing and they're like, it was supposed to be here at the beginning of August. Like, I think it was supposed to be here like between the 5th and the 9th, and it showed up today. And I was like, oh,
that's nice. Yeah.
So yeah, it's real nice. It's got a footrest on it.
Lumbar. You went all out. Mine doesn't have a footrest.
Oh yeah, I can't.
It
use
leans
the
back
footrest.
Though, but yeah, I know. I was to say I don't know if I would need it anyway.
Well, in your room, you could. In this studio under the stairs, I can't put out a footrest.
No, I probably could, but I don't know. I'd be so far away from the computer, like I wouldn't be able to manage it.
I've already
but
started.
But I guess if I was kicked back with a PS controller in my hand.
Oh yeah.
It would be better. Yeah.
Adjustable armrests. This thing's, it's the cat's meow, John.
Nice.
The Cadillac
of chairs.
The cat. It's a Prius.
Which I mean, when I started looking, I saw some Cadillac chairs, believe me.
Yeah.
Like there was some gaming chairs in the $500-$700 range that I was looking at that were pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But
this one was under $200. It was nice. It was, this was Captain America, the second uniform, I think. Yeah. Winter Soldier uniform, I think. It's a color scheme anyways. Really, really nice.
Yeah, I think this was $140 or $150. So, you know, it's nice enough, but it's not an $800 gaming chair.
No.
So.
What's an $800? What does it vibrate and have speakers in it or something?
It brings me a sandwich and, plays my games for me. So.
I have a son. He does that.
Yeah. Right. That's why I have kids.
We got plenty of comments this week from Warrior Nun. Really hit a chord.
I saw a few. I didn't, like I said, honestly, I joke, but I really don't pay that much attention to Twitter.
No,
so
I did see
a little bit of it, but I didn't follow all of it.
So before we get to the Warrior Nun ones, we have Ryan, our registered voter and mask wearer in Texas, at NewXGuy on Twitter. He commenting on last Thursday's podcast, he says, HBO Max really seems to have an identity problem at Brightside Chat. Yeah, no kidding. He didn't say that. That's my comment. Yeah. Why didn't AT&T just fold everything down to HBO, the channel, and HBO Max? Cancel the rest. Until they have the Matrix 1 through 3 and the Animatrix, they really don't have anything to sell the brand with other than Harry Potter.
Which they're losing.
Exactly. So, and they, I don't know. They still don't have the Matrix on there yet?
No, it's on Peacock.
Oh, Jesus.
I saw it on Peacock when I logged into Peacock finally the other day. The three Matrix movies are there. So I don't know what they're doing there, but because I thought they were on Netflix. So they went from Netflix. I watched it on Netflix when we did the show. So right. It went from Netflix to HBO Max for a day. Now it's
was
on
it even
Peacock.
On HBO Max ever? It wasn't.
Oh, maybe it wasn't.
It
they
never
just had
was.
The, they just had the buttons up for it.
Right. I
but
never,
they never
saw
actually
it
had the movies.
Because when we did it, when we talked about the Matrix, I actually went on HBO Max to compare it to my Blu-ray. I wanted to right. see what it looked like. And I believe that was the that was the last time I was on HBO Max, and that was the week it came out. Because we went on, we recorded that Wednesday night. I think HBO Max came out like that Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
And I was all excited. I'm like, I wanted to check out the 4K. I wanted to check out the Atmos. It had none of that.
No.
Didn't really matter because it didn't have the Matrix either. But yet, no. In all of their ad campaigns, there's Neo standing there front and center. Actually, I think he was left to center. I don't know if that means anything. But.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't looked.
They don't
know
what they're doing.
I know
what
it was
disaster.
On. Yeah, it was on there. And now I've been on HBO Max several times. To be fair, not to watch the Matrix, but
no, I know.
You know, I'm watching all my HBO shows on there. So, like, I'm watching Perry Mason right now on HBO Max, and
I heard there's some good stuff. I just can't pull myself to go there.
Yeah, I watched that. You know, the Mark Ruffalo show where he was like his twin brother was on HBO Max. So, yeah. I mean, I've watched a bunch of stuff on there.
Now you have an Apple TV like me. Right?
I do. Yes.
So I was listening to the Dork podcast, and Rich Keefe, he's all excited. He got HBO Max. I'm paraphrasing here, and he goes to watch it, and he can't get it on anything because he doesn't have an Apple TV, and he's trying to watch it on a Fire Stick.
Yeah, it's not on Amazon. It's not on Fire Stick.
It's not on anything. It's like. I don't know if he had a Roku, if it's not on there, but whatever, everything that he has, it's not on. He goes, so I can watch it on my phone.
Yeah, I think it's on PlayStation. I'm not 100% sure. I have a PlayStation, but I haven't actually looked. But yeah, you're right. It's still not on.
That's horrible.
On Amazon, which is horrible.
Right.
If it's not on Roku, again, I don't know.
Do you remember how much crap you were given, like, Disney Plus because they weren't on everything? And that was months before Disney Plus launched.
Right.
And HBO Max has been launched now for, what, over a month?
Yeah.
And they're still.
Yeah, no, it's unforgivable. It really is.
They're
like,
a disaster.
The fact that they're not on these platforms, the fact that they still don't have. You know, I can forgive not having Dolby Atmos. I wish they did, but not having 4K is unforgivable.
Right.
You know, it's just that every TV on the market now is 4K. Like, to launch a service without
it's like opening a video store in the 90s with Beta.
Exactly. You know,
I don't have a Beta player.
Yeah. It's like I said, I know this isn't a home theater podcast, but it's unforgivable that they don't have 4K. But you know, that being said, I watched Ford versus Ferrari on there, and I enjoyed the movie, but it really just made me want to buy the disc and watch it properly.
Right. Correctly.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
in the proper cinema mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a disaster. You're not, but listening to Rich on the Dork podcast, he's like, I can't watch it anywhere. Right. Felt bad.
That's
pretty
crazy.
Funny. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, and then where is it? Then Ryan, I found him on Instagram. New X guy on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Never heard of the talk. And now we're getting into Warrior Nun. He's like, never heard of the comic. Didn't know about this Netflix drop. You guys sold me. Sounds like something the wife and I can enjoy together. Yep, definitely is.
Yeah, I think
definitely
so.
Definitely is. Did Lydia watch it with you?
Yeah, she liked it.
She liked it? Yeah, I forgot if you said that or not. A lot of people haven't heard of it.
It was a quiet drop. Like, I don't even really think it was prominent on the main Netflix page for very long, you know?
No.
It wasn't a big, like, it wasn't hyped up a lot. I mean, I knew it was coming because, I mean, I knew the comic anyways. So as soon as I heard it, you know, it stuck in my mind because I remember the anything that's coming out that's comic book related. But, there wasn't a lot of marketing or hype for it. And I think it'll be a sleeper, you know, because obviously, you know, we liked it. I think it was really, really good. And it'll be something that people will find, I think, for a while going forward. Like, it might show up, like, I know a lot of people will probably find Umbrella Academy Friday. And, like, this will probably show up afterwards, that, you know, since you watched Umbrella Academy, you know, you might like Warrior Nun or something like that. And maybe it'll, you know, continue to find some audience that way, but
that's a good thought. I hope it finds it. I hope we get, obviously,
because I want a season two.
Yeah, we want a season two. Let's go spoiler free for anybody that didn't hear Monday's podcast. Yeah. It's funny. Did you hear my home theater podcast when I talked about it briefly?
For an hour and a half. I did. Yep.
Yeah. It was very brief in that hour and a half.
Yeah.
But I was trying to tell Ira about it. But I hadn't seen the last two episodes. So if you listen to my explanation there, I'm like, yeah, it was pretty good, but not nearly the enthusiasm that I would have had I seen the last two episodes.
Well, right. And you wouldn't have wanted to tell him anyway, since he hadn't seen it, but.
No, but I definitely would have been like, yeah, this is a great. I thought it, up until that point, I thought it was a really good series. And then when it got to the end, I thought it was a great series.
Yeah, it got great at the end.
So along those lines, The Alchemical Mind tweeted at us saying, just finished the episode. I hope people can get past the somewhat slow and predictable first two episodes and stick around because the series is frigging awesome. And I've replied, absolutely. It's hands down. I think it's a must watch. And then somebody else replied, Ibis, EYEBIS. He replied, yeah, we almost turned it off. It starts so slowly and feels really B grade, but worth it to see its guts.
I didn't feel that in the beginning.
I didn't either.
I mean, we talked about it on our show. Being Monday, kind of a slow burn throughout, but
it had a burn to it, and that's
right.
What
I didn't find it super slow. Like I never once felt like I wanted to turn it off. To each his own. Like we all have our different opinions, but I thought, you know, I mean, from the opening scene, there was action right from the beginning.
Yeah. I will say, I did say to him I replied to him on Twitter. I'm like, it's the ultimate shell game. Definite B grade though, when you see the demon for the first time, because I still even remember that. I looked at Jen, I looked at my wife and went, ugh. But that works. It does work. If you get through the entire series, you'll understand why. But I can see what he's saying about B grade. But I agree with you that it's a slow burn, but it definitely is still a burn. It's like, I was entertained. It wasn't to the level that you get to at the end.
Yeah. I didn't even feel the demon was that bad. To me, it looked like the Balrog from, Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
But, I mean, I didn't find it to be that bad, but, you know, I mean.
I guess
if I'm comparing it to something I saw 20 years ago,
right,
it should be better. But to me, it looked just like the Balrog from
Lord of the Rings movie. What I think it was is most of the show, up until that demon shows up, most of the show seemed fairly well grounded.
Right.
Like in reality.
The first real supernatural element.
And that was, you were like, Like, oh, okay, we're going in that direction. I didn't know there were gonna, you didn't even know there were going to be those demons.
Right.
So it kind of was a shock and you were like, oh, okay. Because everything up in, what was that, the first episode maybe?
No, first or I don't second? Think it was like the second or third episode because that's when, well, spoilers, that's when Lilith.
No, he showed up before that. Before, yeah, I know what you're talking about, but that was before anything.
Hey, we saw it before that?
Yes. It was like very briefly he showed up. Remember in the catacombs he showed up where Shannon had died at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, first now, episode then.
First
yeah,
episode,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking.
He was just investigating that.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that. I was thinking about the later scene where Lilith was involved. Spoiler free. So.
Right. Well, we didn't give anything away. There's characters and demons, so.
Yeah. They interact. They
it's a nun that's a warrior.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Go figure. So. That's my Boston accent right there. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
All right. You got anything else?
What do you got? Not really, but I'm sitting here looking at my Return of the Jedi poster, and I saw
nice segue.
I'm looking at the cast, and you know, I saw Billy Dee Williams' name. So again, going back to the rumor of the Lando series, have you heard the rumor of how they could incorporate Billy Dee Williams and Donald Glover into the series at the same time, which I think would be fantastic. So for those that haven't heard, you know, in Solo, you know, Lando keeps a journal, you know, and Donald Glover is keeping the journal. So the theory for the show on Disney Plus, if there is actually a show, would be basically Billy Dee Williams looking, it kind of like the young Indiana Jones Chronicles in a way.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's looking at the journal and reminiscing about his past adventures.
That would be so cool.
And when he's reminiscing, it's obviously Donald Glover acting it out. And I think that would be so awesome. Like, what a way to kind of pay tribute to Billy Dee Williams and, you know, let him get some more time with Lando. And, like, that's a show I could get behind. Like, I think that would be awesome. So, and again, it's already kind of, the groundwork is already laid, you know, with, you know, Indiana Jones. That's like a Lucasfilm product. So, you know, they already have kind of laid that groundwork and template. So that would be awesome. I don't remember where I heard that. I think it was actually Kevin Smith that was talking about it, but
yeah.
I was like, man, yeah, sign me up. I want that.
There's
show.
A bunch of rumors regarding the two of them in what iteration they'll come back, whether they come back in the same series together, whether one goes animated, you know, one's just a voiceover, or one's into another, you know, or they're each in different shows or movie series. But there are so many different rumors right now going on.
Yeah, there's a million. I mean, there's a bunch of Darth Maul rumors that came through this week. you know, that, well, in addition to, I think that's probably why he's trending again, but,
trending.
You know, a lot of rumors about multiple, Darth Maul appearances on Disney Plus shows. I even saw a rumor today about, you know, a Solo series, which, you know, we've speculated on before, but, you know, a continuation. And that might be where we would see Donald Glover, too. So, like, all that could fit in. Like, all those rumors could all tie into one show, which would be great.
Well, isn't Emilia Clarke slated for that as well?
Well, I haven't heard.
I thought she was supposed to be doing something with Disney for Star Wars.
I haven't heard that, but I mean, she would have to, right? Like, if they brought the rest of them back, it would stand to reason. Like, they could recast, obviously, but I mean, she would have to come back for it because, you know, that's the way that movie ends off. Like, honestly, you need her more than you need Solo, you know, more than you need Han Solo.
Right.
You know? So, because, you know, the story, when that movie ends, we know where Han goes. It's everybody else that we need to,
need
to follow. Yeah. So, he doesn't have to be involved at all. We just need everybody else. So, I think that would be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No. A lot of good stuff coming out.
Yeah, in 7 years or so. But
I don't know if we'll ever get to see it, but we'll talk about it all the way up until we can't talk anymore. Our grandkids.
Yeah.
Like,
we're getting a solo series, kids.
Someday.
I already talked to my grandkids. I don't know what you're waiting on.
No, I'm saying our grandkids will be talking about it when they're older. Like, someday we're going to get this.
I was going to say, I got grandkids now, so someday is already here. So,
I know.
Hell, I had another one this week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, baby girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How many is that now?
That makes 7.
You have more grandkids than my parents.
Yep. I mean, we have a big tribe. Like, we're going to have a whole mess.
Yeah, you do. You have an awesome family.
Yeah, we got a big family.
In every
family,
sense of the word.
Yeah. We got a big family.
Yeah, so. That's awesome.
But yeah, we had another granddaughter last Thursday.
Nice. What's her name?
Emma.
Emma.
Yep.
Cool. Baby Emma.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. Why didn't you lead off with that? I wanted to lead off with my chair. Emma's much
news.
Better.
Yeah, I know.
But. No, my chair isn't comic news other than it's Captain America.
Well, it's Captain America. If she was named Princess Leia, then I would have led with that. But
there's got to be an Emma in comics somewhere. It's not that far.
Emma Frost.
Yeah, there you
she's
go.
She's the White Queen.
See? Should have led with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I got to rename the show now.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other grandchildren you got hidden around?
Well, I got a bunch, but none of them are new this week.
Oh, okay. So. All right. You ready to get to some comics?
Yeah.
All righty. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. First book we're going to take a look at is Captain Marvel number 18. This is the first appearance of Laurie L. I haven't read it, so I don't know quite who Laurie L is, but a lot of people were looking for this.
Well, it's her first appearance. That's why you don't know her.
Yeah. The notes I have says the main cover is going for $12. That was early. At 5:30, it was going for $30 on eBay because I had a customer come in looking for one of these and I didn't have any. And he checked eBay and they were already going for $30. Cool. So,
speaking of which, just to interject for a second, we had TJ contact us this week about where to check for prices and what's the best outlet. And I said, let me ask John. And you said eBay. So
eBay is the most current marketplace for anything. Like anything you want to buy, if you want pricing, check eBay. I mean, there's online price guides for comic books, but I always find – I check eBay for everything when I'm pricing comics. So unless I have a little – you know, because the problem with using eBay is it's cumbersome if you're looking for – like if I have to price like Batman 1 through 100, looking up every issue one at a time on eBay is cumbersome. So I'll go to one of the online like comicbookpriceguide.com and just – and just kind of skim through the listings to see if any of them pop out as being excessively higher in price than the other ones.
Yeah.
And if I find something, then I'll go to eBay and find the price on that particular one. Otherwise, I'll use the price guide price, which is usually like $3 as a median price for every issue. But you look for the outliers. But the comic book price guide might say, oh, well, issue 7 is worth $90, but you go to eBay and they're selling regularly for $50 or something. So,
right.
I mean, you price it at $50 just because the price guide says 90, it's only worth what people are willing to pay for it. So that's why I go to eBay for everything. So,
yeah, like this podcast, for instance, it's priced just right. What people
just
are
right.
willing to pay.
Yep. Free. 0 cents a day.
There you go.
For just 0 cents a day, you can get all of this.
We'll sound like Sally Struthers.
Yeah. all right. So next book is from Scout Comics. It's Grit number 1. You know, again, another number 1 from a smaller publisher with a small print run. So these things tend to, I don't know when we're going to learn and just start ordering more of these books, but you know, again, yeah. Store owners are risk averse right now. So it's hard to take chances on these things.
Right.
But this one's selling for about $15. I actually wanted to read this today for checkout, but I didn't order any, so I didn't even see it. Yeah,
I didn't store, and I grabbed
friendly
my
neighborhood might not have got it either. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, I wonder if they got it. They get their scout stuff for some reason a week early because I got.
They
my,
might be
it,
ordering direct. That's what I thought about that after the fact when you were talking about it eats what feeds it.
Yes.
They're probably getting Scout direct, and that's why they're getting them a little bit sooner than Diamond, I would guess.
Yep, so. That's it. I had that conversation today. That's what I was just going to say. I'm like, why am I – because this isn't – it Eat What Feeds It, the number two, comes out, what, next week or the week after, I think, something like – it said in August.
Right.
And I showed up this morning, and they had it in my pull list, and I was like, it's here today? And they're like, yeah. And I asked them that question. They were like, yeah, we get them direct. So you.
The only thing I would question, and again, this is.
They said the same. I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Yeah. Are they breaking street dates?
That's what they don't think so. They thought because they're getting it from Scout that they're getting it, that they're allowed to put it out.
I don't know. Maybe they are, but that would be my only concern is just because you get something early doesn't mean you get to break street date by putting it out. So, but now Scout should be setting the street date, not Diamond.
That's
Diamond,
what I mean.
Diamond pays attention to what Scout says. So I don't know the answer. I'm just guessing that, it might be something they might want to look at.
But that's what they were saying. They're like, we don't think we're breaking anything. And it was both Slade and Ernie, both the owners were there today. And they're both like, right. No, that's, I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I'm sorry if I did something wrong because I talked about it the week before it came out, but I mean.
Well, I would just say, and I haven't looked because I don't order direct, but I'm sure Scout's website lists the street dates for all their books. So, I mean, just a quick look at their website should tell them whether it's okay to sell it or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. And it's not for me
to
say.
I hope I didn't get them in trouble because, we are worldwide.
We are, yes. We're on all but one continent as of now. So,
we've been on all but one continent.
Yeah,
we go back and forth between South America and Africa right now.
Yeah,
we can't get them both at the same time. Well, oh, there was that 2-day span.
I guess just that one guy he bouncing around.
Yeah,
between them.
He's bouncing around, listening to us on his iPhone. Just need him to fly over Antarctica and we'll be all set.
Exactly. just buzz the tower.
I mean, seriously, you're already, we had South Africa. We had.
The problem is like, where am I going that Antarctica is on the way? like, I'm not going anywhere where I'm flying over Antarctica to get there. So that's the problem.
I don't know. I don't know. What do I look like, Magellan? Let's get to Legion of Superheroes.
All right. Legion of Superheroes number 7. I think this is just eBay trying to inflate something that's not really inflatable.
Didn't we just say they're the best place to go?
Well, yeah, but some sellers, you always
we're so good. Go to eBay. Here they are overinflating.
Well, again, going back to eBay, when you're checking prices, another PSA, look for sold prices, not list prices.
Not asking prices.
Yes, because people can ask whatever they want. It doesn't mean that's what they're going to get. But yeah, they're trying to float this as the first appearance of Ultra Boy's dad. Doesn't seem like a lot of people are biting on that right now. It's still selling for just cover price. But you never know if it turns out to be something. But the 1 in 25 variant that has the Gold Lantern on the cover is definitely in demand, and that's going for about $40. So that's the one to grab if you can.
All right.
Hey, we've talked about Thor a bunch. So Thor number 5, the second printing. Once upon a time, second printings and third printings came out so that the people that actually want to read the story and didn't get a chance to could pick it up and read it. That's not the case anymore, because it seems like these books become instant hot books before they even hit the stands. So this one is selling for $20 already as of today. And again, it's, you know, collectors are out and they're sucking up all the copies, and the people that want to read the book still don't get a chance to read it. So, I don't know, like, what the answer is to this trend, but it's not third and fourth printings, because those are going to be even more in demand than the first or second print. So, at a certain point, we have to let the readers get their hands on these if we want to sell, like, number six and number seven going forward. But, it's crazy that these things are hitting on day one at these price points.
Well, so. I hate to say it, but at that point, just you buy digital.
Well, buy digital, or, you know, the
you
thing
know,
is put them on
you're
your
you're not
put
hurting
them on
the stores because the books are sold.
Yeah, but put them on your pull list, I guess. That's the thing, right? Like, yeah. I had three of these come in today. I mean, I knew that they were hot, so, I mean, I'm guilty too. I held two right. of them back. But I put one on the shelf, and I let somebody buy it for $3.99. But I put two of them back in the box, and next week I'll bring them out at $25, and I'll sell them. So, I mean, I'm contributing to the problem, but I need to pay rent. So, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Right. Well,
and
that's
I can make money on them. You know, I'm gonna make money at the market price. So,
well, that's your business, though.
Right.
But I think a lot of people are going out that are, you know, the collectors are going out just buying them and then flipping them.
Right.
To, you know, when I guess you could say that's their business too. But it to your point, like, it's not getting to the people that want to read it.
Exactly.
You know, like you said, like, second printings were meant for the people that missed out on the. On the first printing and now heard all the great hubbub about it, and now right. they want to go buy it, and all the people that got the first prints are buying the second prints.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's not what the point was. But it does create a market, and they're being sold. So if instead of paying
right,
crazy
they are being
money,
sold. Yep.
Just go buy the digital. Just read the digital, and then you got to read it. And if you want to, when the prices drop, buy your own copy.
Well, right, and like I said, put it on your pull list, because any of these that
yeah,
come in
that too
that are ascribed or that are, you know, planned for a customer, they're going to get them. Like, I'm never going to short somebody, you know, so I can make a few bucks if they asked for it.
Right.
But if they come in and they're just rack copies, well, you know, I'm going to make money if I can. So,
of course.
That's always the answer. Now, again, there's, I'm sure, a lot of unscrupulous store owners that will short subscribers to make a buck, but, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen too often. I would just say, if you want them, make sure you get them on a pull list and get them ordered.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah. Sometimes it's tough, though, because the...
Well, it is, because the second and third printings usually have a very quick turnaround.
Right.
Like, we hear about it on, like, a Thursday, and they're on FOC on Monday. So right. it's up to the store to get
and
it posted.
If it's DC, that means they're on FOC on Thursday.
Yeah. Which actually, I think I have to do FOC Sunday this week. So I think this is the first week.
The first one?
Yeah. So don't look
still
to be
hot about
it.
That, aren't
yeah,
we?
Don't look to be reading any DC this week either.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I know. I talked to Ernie about it. It's the first time I'd seen Ernie in a few weeks. And yeah. I talked to him about it this morning. And he basically did what I'm doing right now, the rubbing of the forehead, yep, DC. And it's everybody I've talked to, store
yeah, nobody's
owners,
happy
that
about it.
Nobody.
And that's the one I don't understand. It's like, they continue to make these decisions that
they don't care.
That nobody wants. Like, I don't know one store that wants to be selling DC books on a Tuesday. You know? Nobody wants it, but they keep pushing it. So, yeah, that's all you can do is just scratch your head and, you know, not read their books, you know? I mean, that's all I can do. I can't even not buy them because I have a store. So I have to give them my money, but I don't have to give them my time, you know? So.
Yeah, I've given them my money, just not my time, but I'm getting this stack.
I don't know. Like, you don't have to live in solidarity with me forever, man. It's just read
yeah,
them.
But I read these books so I can talk to you about them, too.
I know.
I enjoy and I don't want to read something and then be like, oh, we might as well just read them, you know, when this is over, we'll binge it together or whatever, but
yeah.
Part of it is the fun that we have on air, off air, whatever. But the thing is, you know, weeks go, certain weeks, yes, when I get my stack and I see my Batman and or one of the medals comes out and I'm like, oh, I really kind of wanted to get into that. But for the most part, I don't miss it.
It's, right. No, I'm not either.
I'm not lacking for content. That's for sure.
It's sad to say, but I just fill the time with another book, you know?
Yeah.
And I've discovered things. Like, I'm discovering things that I wouldn't have read.
Your wife's home more often than you realized.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading things I wouldn't have had time to read if I had a bunch of DC books to read. So, you know, there's a silver lining, but.
It's the bright side.
Yep. That's it for Speculator Books.
It was four books. Yep. And it took us that long.
Hey, you know.
We're chit-chatting.
We have to expound on everything. So.
Exactly. All right. Let's get into back issue bonus. A few more than four, though.
Yeah, there's a couple more. First one is Darth Vader number 3. And this is not the current series. This is actually the previous.
Oh, okay.
Actually, this is the first Darth Vader series. So going back, I think, to 2016 or so. This is the first appearance of Dr. Aphra. Not sure what's pushing it at this moment. Maybe just her new series. But this one's jumped up some and is now hitting about $65 raw. And 9.8 graded copies are selling for about $250. So definitely one to keep an eye on. There's been rumor that Dr. Aphra will appear in an upcoming Star Wars project. And if that's the case, I would expect to see this really jump. The only concern I have with that is that, again, it brings us back into the Skywalker timeline. So I know that they keep saying they don't want to go there anymore. But we're hearing about Obi-Wan shows and Lando shows. So who knows? Yeah, who knows what they're going to do. But she's a really cool character. I know you didn't love the comic necessarily, but she would make a great character on a show, so definitely would like to see that. Next book is from 2005, The New Avengers number 7. This is the first appearance of the Illuminati. There's rumors of a possible Illuminati movie, so that's driving the price up on this. The regular cover is going for about $25, but there was a 1 in 10 Neil Adams variant that's now going for about $70. So. And I actually had somebody come in and look for this today, so I guess they read the same app. They used the same app that we use to get these books. Next one is a pretty new book, Year Zero, number 1 from AWA.
Starting we read
to
that.
See some, yeah, starting to see some interest. And I think, again, it's just due to print run more than anything else. Selling between $15 and $25 right now, though. I like that one. I'm actually still waiting for number 2 because – I thought that
I
was
think I read
cool.
number 2.
That did came we? Out, oh, didn't maybe it? I haven't. Maybe it has, and I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely liked that first issue. Superman Batman number 22, also from 2005. This is the first appearance of Batman Beyond in comic books continuity. This used to be a dollar book. Now it's selling for about $20 to $25. Sets of number 2 and number 23. Are selling for about $40. 22 is the cameo appearance, and 23 would be the first full appearance. So definitely also books to look at. This is one you have, Batman number 89, the first appearance of Punchline.
Yeah.
This is closing in on this is closing in on $100 now. So,
wow.
Yeah, this book's definitely gone up quite a bit. This one came out actually right before the pandemic, I believe.
That's her first appearance. It was on the cover.
Right.
Wasn't that the variant with, is that the cover that's worth the money?
I think so. Well, no, because this was when she was in the book. She just had that panel.
Oh.
Yeah, she just had that one
wasn't
panel
it like
on the
her
last
eye
page.
Or her
yeah,
hand?
Yeah, well, it was her mouth. Tiny. It was like her mouth on the phone or something.
Right.
That was the last Batman I actually read, so I can't recall.
I thought we read 90, 91 before all this hit. Did we? I thought, because 92 was the one that I read without.
Oh, you're believe. Right. Maybe, yeah, maybe 92 is the one I haven't read yet. So,
yeah.
But anyways, it's like I said, closing in on $100. You know, sales are ending anywhere between $80 and $90 right now. And then the variant is a little bit lower. That's $50 to $60. Still a lot though for a pretty recent book.
Yeah. That's crazy.
All right. This is not.
She must be really taking off in the what we're not reading.
She must be. Yeah. Must be. We'll see.
I know one of the covers had her and Harley.
Yes.
Together. Yeah. So I don't know if that's in the story or not. I'm very intrigued, though. That should be.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. You know, last week we talked about like Donny Cates' Venom, and we didn't close in necessarily on a specific issue. This is kind of a similar situation where we have a bunch of heavy metal magazines that have a bunch of work by Peach Momoko. So we've talked about her a bunch recently. For whatever reason, she's like the hottest cover artist in the business right now. Like anything she's doing is going crazy. There's like a Usagi Yojimbo San Diego Comic-Con book that IDW was selling for like $10, and now it's like $400. So definitely crazy prices on her stuff. So anyway, she's done a bunch of interior work on several issues of Heavy Metal. The most recent one is issue 299. I think her first appearance was in issue 288. But any of those, like the 288 issue was selling for between $80 and $100. And there's a B cover that's going for about $150. Issue 290, that one's going for $25 to $30. So any of these heavy metal books that you can find in that number range is definitely worth picking up and holding on to, because like I said, she's definitely on fire right now. And then speaking of Peach Momoko, the next book is Die number 6. There's a variant cover that she did that's also selling for like $20. So, again, anything you can find with her name on it right now.
Cool. Maybe Dr. Joe has that. He loves Die.
He's yeah, well,
I
and
fell off. I loved it at the beginning. I read up to like 5, I think, and I fell off.
Yeah, I read the first couple, and I kind of fell off of it too. But yeah, I liked it also. I need to get back and
I know I've seen his
pick up the rest of that story.
His polls when he posts them on Twitter, and I always see Die that I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta, and that's when I'm always reminded, oh yeah, I forgot to pick that one up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know he's still reading that. Maybe he has that one.
Probably does. Well, I don't know if he has the variant cover. That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's, FOC isn't that bad. Let's get into FOC. Not too bad.
Not too bad, but there's a bunch of DC, on here this week. First one is.
You even have a star here.
Yeah, oh, this, I really like this cover. I think it's, my favorite for the week. This Shazam number 14 has a Dale Keown cover that I really like. But this next one I like also, so it's a toss-up. Batgirl number 48 by Ian McDonald. Either one of those are really, really nice covers. Wonder Woman 761 has a Joshua Middleton cover that's really nice. Flash 760 in Hyuk Lee. And Suicide number 8, Jeremy Roberts. Those are all awesome, nice variant covers. And then there's a new series from DC, Hellblazer Rise and Fall, number 1 of 3 issues. The main cover for number 1 is Libra Mayho, and that's actually a pretty cool cover too. So, that cool. Might be, you know, that looks good. That's it for DC. From IDW, we have Canto 2, The Hollow Men. This is issue 1 of 5 issue miniseries. They only look like one cover for that. Marvel had no variant covers, but they have some new series. There's Fantastic Four Antithesis, issue number 1, and that's going to be a 4-issue miniseries. And there's multiple printings for that. And then actually the next two are not new series, but I'm bringing them up based on what we just talked about. Strange Academy number one is getting a third printing, and Thor number two is getting a fourth printing.
Well, that ought to be worth a lot.
Yeah, if you want those, get them on your pull list before Monday. Because that fourth printing of Thor number two is probably going to be worth even more than the third printing.
So definitely
grab either one of those. And then last but not least, from Valiant Comics, we have Savage, issue number one, and there's multiple covers for that. And that was it for FOC.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't a lot.
Really fast.
Yeah.
All right.
I've done this 99 times, so I think I've got it down by now.
Is it 99?
I don't know. I don't know what issue we're on. But
I think it's over 100.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, but we had those pandemic weeks where we didn't do this, so.
That's right. Now, we're not over 100 yet because we haven't been on at this for almost 100 for 2 years. All right. Let's get to checkout. What did you check out this week, John?
All right, first book I checked out was from Image Comics. It's called Lost Soldiers. It's issue number one of five. It was written by Alice Cott, and it had art by Luca Casalinguida, I guess.
Nice.
And Heather Moore. Did you get a chance to read this one?
Yes.
Okay. So this book follows a three guys that were together in Vietnam in the war in 1969, and then they are still together doing jobs in 40 years later, and they're setting up for a job in Juarez, Mexico. So you kind of spend this issue bouncing back between like 1969 and present day with these characters. I thought this was really good, actually. This was pretty dense. Like, there was a lot of story packed into this issue. These pages, like, this was not a quick read. And I thought they did a pretty good job. Like, we've seen a lot of stories where, you know, we get the horrors of war, you know, and what it's like to be in the trenches. And this was kind of the same with these guys that were, like, we spent a lot of time with them, like, in a foxhole in Vietnam. And they're talking about who their favorite heroes are, and you know they're talking
that was
about
pretty cool.
Like John Wayne, and one guy brings up Superman, and
that conversation was like fun.
That. Yeah, and that's a conversation you would have. Like you could imagine having that conversation in the foxhole in Vietnam in 1969. So I thought they did a really good job with these characters. I don't know it really. Like you don't know what the story is yet. Like, I don't have any idea why they're going to Juarez, Mexico, and, like,
well,
why
the
they're still together
had...
at 40 years later. Because you have to imagine they're in their 60s, maybe 70s by now. So, like, what are they doing in, you know, going to Mexico at all at that age? It's like Rambo 6 or Rambo Last Blood or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I thought they did a good job kind of bouncing between the two eras and, you know, kind of, you know, the horrors they lived through in Vietnam and, you know, the kind of the bonds that you forge when you go through that with somebody. And, you know, obviously they've stayed together and, you know, we're lifelong friends after that. And, you know.
I don't know if they were friends or if they were just business associates.
I feel like they were friends because they talked about
Of them were.
Yeah, two of them were for sure. I don't know if the
right.
if the other one, the, you know, the third guy was. But, you know, the two of them are very good friends. You get the sense because they, you know, they eat, have dinners together. They know the families. Like he even says at one point, you know, I have this
business.
This brother complex. And, you know, if you're going, I have to go. You know,
right.
to stay with you. So they're definitely close. And, you know, again, it's just a bond that comes from, you know, risking your life together. So I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was really good. I'm interested to see what what the story is going to be. But I don't know. I found myself kind of engrossed in reading the you know, kind of their story.
I thought it was very artfully written, like poetic at times.
Right, it was. That's what I'm saying. I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job.
I thought the art was really good, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
They did a really good job at a couple of the flashback scenes. You really, like, it's all drawn in comic form, of course, but you got a sense of a reality page or panel, and then that flashback scene when it, especially, I don't know if you can think of the one I'm talking about, but it's like he flashed back to something that had happened. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
He was holding him, and you're like, it was the way the colors were splashed.
Well, right, the palette, like the, a lot of red, you know, there were a lot of reds and, you know.
But a lot of pastels.
Yeah.
In a quote, Vietnam scene, flashback scene. I thought it was, and it really did look like how you would picture a flashback.
Right.
And it looked pretty good. It was, I thought the art was very interesting throughout. I thought it was a, like you said, it was thrilling. It was funny, but it was in sad, all right. Different. It was a good story that you're just like, where is this going to go? And I think that like they tried to tell you a little bit with the newspaper clippings at the end on that last page.
Yeah.
Of a little bit of what's going on down in Juarez, I think.
Yeah, Juarez.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it definitely, it's a must read, I think.
Yeah, like I said, good. I really liked it. You know, again, without knowing a lot of the story, I just found myself enjoying the read. Like you said, it was kind of, it had a literary style. You know, it wasn't like just comic book writing.
Right.
You know, it had a lot of, you know, quotes from different books or people, and, it had a nice style to it, and it was interesting to read. So, I enjoyed it. I definitely recommend it. This is my money back guarantee book of the week. So, you know, I've got it up on the counter, and I'm, trying to push it. And I sold quite a few copies of this, actually. I think I only have 3 left. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth the read.
Yeah, so. It's a good one.
Yeah.
First one I'll talk about is that I read is It Eats What Feeds It, number 2.
Yeah. I still haven't found the first one yet.
Oh, well, the second printing's coming out, so if you don't put it back,
if I don't put it, well, even if I put it back for scalping, I can still read it. So.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, this one is, I'll say, is not as good as the first, but you can't. I was blown away by the first.
Right.
So the story picks up. It's right where the first one left off. Little bit more thrills in this one in a different way, but the artwork, the storytelling, much the same as the first. The main reason I wanted to talk about it today is because, I read the 2 that you were, and I have, figured I'd add this in. But I know a lot of people haven't read 1 yet, like yourself. You haven't, I think, grab number 1 when number 2 comes out next week.
Right.
I know Friendly Neighborhood have both sitting next to each other at the store. And so people have them, and second printing's coming out of number 1. My son, to be fair, my son read this and he heard me rave about it. And that's one of the detriments to when you rave about something.
Right, because he didn't like it as much as you did.
He's like, I don't, now, it was funny. It's not that he didn't like it. He liked it, but he goes, I don't know what's so awesome about it. Like, why are you saying book of the year? And like I said, when I talked about it before, it's the simplicity.
Right.
It's so simple. It's everything about it is simple. The artwork is simple, straightforward. The premise is simple. It draws on two primary emotions. It does fear, and you'll see it when you read it. It draws on those two things. After I explained this to my son, he's like, you're right. And he goes, and you know what he likened it to is, what's that? Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
He's like, when you see Uncut Gems, if you watch that, and I haven't seen it yet. I know you have. He hasn't. He has seen it. He's like, when you see Uncut Gems, if you're not disturbed while watching that and uncomfortable the entire time, then right. you're not getting it. Well, that's much like this. You're on the edge of your seat when you're reading it. But if you just flip through this without reading it and just look, you'll be like, I don't get it. Right. What could be so great in here? But that's what I think is so great about the book. And it's not, you know, to be honest with you, Lost Soldiers, I think that's a great book. It's right. fantastic art. It has all this stuff. It's poetic at times. It has all this stuff. But the beauty in It Eats What Feeds It is the simplicity. That's what I really like about this book. So.
Right.
But yeah, number two, much of the same, but you can't live up to number one, in my opinion, right now. So, but it's definitely worth picking up both.
Cool.
And what do you get? Your All next right. one. I read so this next as well. Book,
yeah. So to be fair, I actively tried to avoid reading this book today.
So did I. Out. And then I saw you read it and I was like, you son of a.
But there was no other number one issues for me to choose from. Right. I didn't order Grit, like I said, so I couldn't read that. And
I didn't even see it, so I missed
You know,
it.
I almost did like Dead Body Road number two. Like I almost went with a number two issue, but I was like, I have X Factor number one, so let me just read it. And I went into it with a sense of dread because I just didn't want to encounter any of those white pages. I do have to say that there were no white pages in this.
No, only when you get to the part where the title page. And,
well, right, but I knew
and
right.
it scares you.
It does. Because, you know, I read Giant Size X-Men Magneto last week that Hickman did, and there was white pages in there, and I was like, son of a bitch. I don't want to read these white pages. So I went into X-Factor.
We're allowed to say that.
Yeah, with a little bit of hesitation. And not expecting a whole lot. I actually really liked it. I thought it was very different. Well, honestly, I didn't even know what I thought it was going to be. I didn't really know what the premise of this was. But I guess to get the particulars out of the way, obviously X Factor number one is by Marvel Comics. It was written by Leah Williams and it had art by David Baldion, who I really like. He did, Domino, and I thought that Domino was one of my favorite books of like 2 years ago when it came out. I really liked his art on that book, and it took me a minute to recognize his art in this. I just kept thinking, man, this art looks familiar, and then I went back to the cover and saw the name, and it clicked. But premise of this basically is, you know, if you follow the X-Men at all, you know that you know, Jonathan Hickman set up a system where X-Men can be reincarnated if they die.
Right. To their last known state.
Right, to their last known state. Whatever their last backup was.
Right.
But they didn't really get into the details of, like, what kind of, like, how that was all going to work. And that's kind of what this book sets up. So it starts out, I won't give the super spoiler, but it starts out with a mutant being that's dead. Right. And
well, it's very easy. I would say spoiler free. The best way to put it is if you've been reading any X-Men books, you know, like millions of mutants have been killed.
Well, right. That's what I was just saying. It starts out with a dead mutant.
Right.
Whose brother, wants to have her reincarnated. And he goes to Krakoa to, you know, basically tell the five that he wants her to be resurrected. And that's when they kind of get into the details of, hey, you know, you're cutting in line here. Like, there's
millions.
Do you think, right. Do you think you're the only one? Like, we have millions of dead mutants that are waiting to be resurrected.
Which was pretty cool.
I was thinking, like, what, like, millions of them? It's like, are they dropping like flies? Like, what's killing all these mutants, you know?
Well, that's just it. At what time period is this during?
Right.
We don't know, but I thought it was pretty cool because mutants have died. They have a process in place to bring them back. And what are the legalities of that? How do they regulate it? How do they do that? And they get into that a little bit, but I thought that was very intriguing. And, you know, spoiler free without ruining anything, this is how you tell a story without white pages.
Well, right. Like this turned into
entertaining.
It turned into basically a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Which I, like I said, I really liked. So you know, they won't bring this character back because the brother can't prove that. I'm gonna say
he's
she,
dead.
Right? Just because I can't, I need to use a pronoun. Like, they can't prove that she's dead, and without proof that she's dead, they won't bring her back because, you know, they don't want to have copies. They kind of set that up in the House of X.
That would be awkward.
Right. We already knew that. Like, they have to prove that there was a death before they can bring her back. And so the brother, who doesn't have her body and doesn't, you know the circumstances, it turns into a mystery. Like, he has to find out what happened. And, you know, in comes X Factor. And X Factor basically is like, the detective, they're like detectives, they're mutant detectives, and they investigate the situation, and, you know, that's where it goes from there, you know, without going into any of the other details. And that sets this book up to where, like, this is what we're going to get. Like, they're basically they're the mutant detective agency, and they're going to investigate the deaths and the missing mutants and all of this stuff so that the five can institute the resurrection protocols and bring these people back or find them when they're missing. And so I liked it a lot. You know, because it's a book set up with a bunch of characters that I really don't care anything about, you know.
Right.
You know, you've got Polaris, you know, who I like Polaris, but, you know, Prodigy and I-Boy and these are like the dreg mutants that nobody cares about. But it was really intriguing. Like, I liked the art, like I said. I liked the story. It could get tired after a while if every issue is just like a, you know, an NCIS episode where they're just trying to figure out who killed who. And
right, that's, you know, what move I was going to say. The one drawback is, where does it go from here?
Right,
because I thought that the story was very intriguing, where you didn't want to put it down, but they didn't wrap it up by any stretch. But
I don't know what the longevity of it is, but for a book that I wasn't really, like I said, I actively tried to avoid reading. I actually ended up liking it quite a bit. I think, like you said, this is how you can tell the story without throwing two white pages in the middle and,
right,
you know, making
have
us
a character
read it.
Tell me the story. Don't have me stop reading a story. Because they were cool at the beginning.
They
but
were.
Then after a while, they became so tedious, like, yeah, quacky and wacky.
Well, because they became less and less relevant also. You know, like,
you hit it and you were like, oh.
In the beginning, they were giving you, like, I don't want to say crucial information, but it was stuff that was kind of crucial to the story. But then you got to where it was just, oh, it's one mutant writing a letter to another mutant and, you know, it's like, is it really that important or interesting? But I spent a whole page, you know, having to read this. So
but
I was really excited when I got to the end and there was like, now there were a couple of redacted white pages at the very end, but
I didn't read them. I skipped them. They were at the end.
I looked at them and it didn't lay out anything that wasn't already laid out in the book. So you didn't miss anything. But yeah, they weren't too cumbersome. But
yeah,
those ones where you just get, it's like a solid wall of, you know, like if you're just flipping like a novel, you know, you just get to the next page and it's like, oh, I don't want to read all this, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So. All right. My next one, I read, this came out a couple weeks ago. Did you talk about this one or have you seen this? Osiris Path?
Mm-mm. No, haven't.
Okay. Pretty good. It's, let me see, I don't have the notes on it. Let's see, created by Christian Morin, interior art and color by Walt Barna. Yeah, Barna. Lettering by Dam. So it says D-A-M.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like waiting to hear.
And it's all caps, so I don't know.
Nice.
Dam. He did the lettering so that he wanted it that way.
Right, he did, right. It's all in caps.
He's the letterer.
He emphasized himself. So.
Yep, exactly. Lettering by damn. So this is a space story. It's based in reality, or I should say around reality of the 80s. So there's a space crew up on the moon. There's a lot of fun, like, 80s references. There's no real cliffhanger here, but it's just a really interesting story about some astronauts up on the moon. I won't give away any of the, I don't know how to put it. There's no big surprises, but it's a very technical. Joe really liked it. And, you know, he being an engineer, wants to work for NASA and all that. He thought it was really cool because there's a lot of fun astronaut technical stuff in there. But it's also, you know, it is a comic book.
Right.
So they're stretching reality here, but it's based around reality. They mentioned Ronald Reagan in there. Like, oh, Ronald Reagan got elected, so we can expect more toys up here. And they're on. But so this is supposed to be a reality that we don't know that exists. Like, right. this stuff went on the moon, you know, that we never knew happened, and this is a glimpse into it. And it was pretty cool. And they're going to explore other planets and stuff. But I thought it was a pretty interesting story. And I'm kind of interested to see where they go at the end. Like I said, it's not a big cliffhanger. It just looks like a normal, like, serial type story. Like, okay, what's the next one? But it was pretty good. That came out a couple weeks ago.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't order any of those either.
Yeah, it's, Behemoth?
I don't think I've even heard of them, so.
Yeah, no, I know. No, Joe had picked it up, or maybe I picked it up and he saw it on my list. But it came out a couple weeks ago, so I can't really remember it.
Cool.
Did you read anything else?
Well, I read Daredevil from last week. Yeah. So, yeah, fantastic issue.
Yeah,
Yeah, really, really good. And then,
you like that? I don't know what to say, spoiler free.
I mean, it came out a week ago. Talking about. So, yeah, Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it came out a week ago.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Well, that was a callback to, what, issue 3 or so?
It was,
yeah.
But I still didn't see it coming. Because he did it the exact same way.
It was.
You know what I mean? Like, did you see it coming? Did you know that when... I mean, it was on the same page. It wasn't a flip page like the last one was.
Right.
And it was a smaller panel, but I still didn't... Like, he still wrote it the same way. I think he said almost the same lines, like, oh, I feel this... you know,
well, as soon as they did that, obviously I knew, right, I knew exactly who it was. But I didn't see it coming before I got to that page.
Right.
But yeah, it was really cool. And then just the whole thing, like the whole way where this story's going is really cool. Yeah, it's still, I think, the best book going right now.
I think we could do this part. Spoiler. The story arc throughout that book, I thought for a minute there we were going to get the typical, like, okay, that's how they get away with it type thing, and
right.
Daredevil gets away with it. But they went in a completely different direction, added in a new quote-unquote clause, I guess, which I thought was really cool, the Daredevil one where he gets to be himself, be Daredevil.
Right, gets to be Daredevil.
And I thought had you ever heard of that before? That was introduced here, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, it was the first.
Because I know they had mentioned that it had happened, like they had stated that, but because they, whatever, I didn't know if it was mentioned in any other.
Well,
comics.
I think it was because they were allowed to, like, appear, like, give testimony in court cases.
Right, so that
and
sets
resume
a precedent.
But maintain their secret identity, and so that set the precedent basically for what happened to him and him being able to keep his true identity a secret.
But what I thought was so cool about that one instance is that's what a lot of people you don't understand, like people don't realize, and I learned a lot working with USA Hockey, and it's like, once you do something that sets a precedent and it means it can be called upon later, blah, 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 blah. So what they did is they allowed a superhero to testify as the superhero.
Right.
So that means that when you do that, that means that superhero is now legally a person.
Right. It's an entity.
And it's like that set that precedent. So if you want to try them, you can't, you don't have to try them as a superhero, as a person. You can try them as their superhero persona.
Right.
And I was like, that is so cool on how they like, they work that in and leave it to, of course, Murdoch and Daredevil and everything to work that out. And I think it was Foggy that came up with it.
Yeah, it was.
But it's just adding to that story. And it's like, how long is this run going? Is there any end?
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah.
You don't want it to go anywhere. And it's like, to think about, you're reading a Daredevil comic and here we are sitting here talking about legal precedents and stuff.
Right.
But it's just, it's so good.
Yeah. Like I said, it's, I think it's the best book on the stands right now. It's really, really good.
Month after month. It's the one, you get it, you got to read it day one. I love that book.
Yeah, really good. And I read issues 2 and 3 of Hotel. I actually reread all three of them and then realized I had read the first one. I didn't think I had read the first one, but once I got a few pages in, I realized that I had already read it. But I continued anyways because it was a while back.
It was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to reread it. So I actually read all three issues of Hotel. It's a pretty good series. I enjoy that too, AWA.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. I recommend it.
AWA, I don't know of one yet that I've been like, eh. Actually, I can't think of one.
Yeah, so far there hasn't been
I know I would, if there was one that I wasn't crazy about, I would say like, oh, I remember reading that and not liking it. But every single, some are better than others, but they're all really good.
Right.
Especially all their number, they just grab you. I read Bleed Them Dry #2.
I haven't picked that up yet.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I want to read that because like I liked the first one. Yeah, the second issue of that Texas Blood came out. Also, there was a bunch of number two issues that I wanted to read. Talk about on our checkout, but I went with X Factor instead. But yeah, there's a bunch of number twos because I want to read that Texas Blood, and I also want to read Dead Body Road #2. So
yeah, that Texas Blood is. A little like a, you know, like a Texas soap opera type thing.
Yeah, talked about that when we reviewed the first one.
What was it? Casserole was in the first one
or something? Yeah, the casserole dish. The big deal with the casserole
dish. But yeah,
dish.
It's a good story. It's funny. It's
like I said, it really felt like a Walker Texas Ranger episode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the second book I read today.
Yeah. I didn't get to any of those. I have them all on my list for the, you know, to read, but
I read Darth Vader #3.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet either.
That was good. That was good. It really ramps up. Really ramps up at the end. Gets you on your edge of your seat there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I have had a bit of a hectic day because my books were late, so.
Yeah, I saw that.
Got a late start.
Was that Diamond Books or late?
It was Diamond's books, but I don't actually think this was Diamond's fault. I think it was UPS because everybody's having delays right now. So,
right.
But it looked like, I mean, the tracking was sent by UPS, I mean, by Diamond on Monday. So I think they were sitting at UPS an extra day. But, you know, because again, Diamond will usually email you if they didn't get picked up. And I didn't get an email saying they were late. I didn't know until. Basically, they just didn't show up, you know.
Yeah.
By, you know, 3:00 and I hadn't had them. I was like, well, I guess I better check the tracking and see what's going on. And I realized that there was no movement. They hadn't gone anywhere. So, like I said, I think it was UPS. But basically, yeah, it was all my Diamond stuff. So, I mean, I had my DC books from yesterday were already done. But there was only like 4 titles. Like, there was hardly any DC books this
week. There wasn't anything really this week.
So, like, I didn't have anything on the shelf, really. So, it took me a bit. I didn't get all done with everything till after 2:00. And, you know, then I had people coming in to get their stuff. So, I didn't get a lot of chance to read today.
All right. Is that it for this week?
I think so.
I'm going to head out of here.
Sounds
good.
Get
home before I have to be back on Monday.
That's right. It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, quick turnaround. I'll be back for Monday for our Wrath of Khan discussion.
Yep.
I hope you're excited for that one.
I am.
All right. Good. Until then, you can talk to us on Twitter. Well, you can talk to me on Twitter.
Yeah, John doesn't really I won't pay attention, but
I'll tell you. Talk to me on Twitter. I'll tell John all about it.
There you go.
Next week. You can reach us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can also email us. I will tell John about it.
Yep.
At thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And check out all the great podcasts on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. That would be great. Anything else, John?
Nope. I think you covered all the bases.
I think we did, too. This is a long one.
Yeah.
And it flew by.
Was it long? I don't even know. Oh, wow, yeah. 1 hour and 42 minutes. Holy crap.
Yeah. And it flew by.
Yeah,
you
did.
Believe that? Look at us go.
I know.
All right. I will be back on Monday. I don't think Mondays is going to be 1 hour and 42.
Probably not.
I'll tell you that right now.
Well, especially since, you know, we got that much in now.
Maybe
I'll behind the curtain. I don't want to do another 2-hour podcast.
All right. Hey, everybody. I will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Take care, everyone.